VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America. As those of you who are regular listeners know that yesterday we discussed tragedy in Texas, speaking of the Uvalde shooting, and we see trouble and tragedy that has taken place there. But friends, it's happening all across this nation. And it's not isolated here only, but there are crises that are taking place in numerous countries around the world. I mean, we see what's going on in Ukraine right now. We know that there is much devastation going on in a number of nations, but despite the tragedies taking place, there is also triumph. And so today we're going to transition from the tragedy in Texas to the triumph that is taking place in Turkey as the gospel is being advanced. Our guest today has just returned from a three-month stay in that nation, and we'd like to welcome back here to Crosstalk Michael Girmay. He is a former Muslim. He was born in Iran into a Shia Muslim family, migrated to Australia in 2006, and there it's where he found faith in Jesus Christ in 2009, and later moved to the States, where he now proclaims the gospel to Islamic nations. Michael, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Good to be here with you, Brother Jim.
You have a burden to reach Islamic nations. How intense is that burden on your heart?
Well, very intense, because I know that there is only one way to heaven, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. And when I got saved, I noticed that I'm not going to be able to go back to my own country of Iran to spread the gospel. But I had burden for people, and I prayed for so many years that the Lord would open a door for me to proclaim the gospel, maybe through radio or satellite somehow. So it was kind of a dream for me, a vision. And the Lord fulfilled that vision for me in 2018, that I've been able to broadcast through satellite TV and radio into Iran and Afghanistan and Tajikistan, those three countries that speak in Farsi. And I'm just giving glory to God for what he's doing.
And you are seeing results through those broadcasts as well.
Yes, the Lord has saved many souls, obviously.
And many would ask, how is it that you're able to get the gospel into these countries by radio communications, by satellite, when these countries have been so closed?
They are close to the gospel, and no missionaries can go there to preach the gospel or plant churches. But the Lord has his own way to get the gospel into that country. The way of God is through satellite. So out of 80 million people in Iran, about 60 million of them have satellite dishes that they get illegally, you know, in black market. So it's out of control. So almost everybody has it. So nobody can stop them anymore. So a lot of people watch programs and Christian channels on satellite TV and radio, and they come to Christ through that. So when the Lord opens the door, no man can shut, no Satan, nobody. So it's God's work.
Yeah, he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Absolutely. He does it in Iran and everywhere.
Well, you know firsthand the deception of Islam. You experience it yourself, the deception of Islam. Deception is not too strong a word, is it?
Yes, not probably very strong in Islam.
Yeah, but there is great deception in Islam itself.
Absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's based on deception, the religion of Islam is. Mm-hmm. And in fact, Allah misleads whom he will, according to what Quran claims. So he's a misleader, and deceiving, being deceived. These religious founders, they are deceived, and they deceive people. Blind, leading the blind, they all will go to hell, obviously.
You have just recently returned from Turkey, there for 3 months now. What led you there?
Well, when I got saved, just right after my salvation, I had burden for Iranians that are scattered. I knew that I'm not going to be able to go back to Iran, so I was praying for preaching through satellite and radio, but also I found a way to teach these scattered Iranians through Skype. You know, we have Zoom now, but on Skype, I've been using for over 10 years now to teach these Iranians that are in Turkey, that are in Iran itself, or some Iranians that are in Europe or anywhere. So the Lord opened the door for me. I've been teaching for over 10 years. And one of the men that I've been discipling and teaching lives in Turkey, and he's been there for 10 years as a refugee. He got saved back in Iran, and he was persecuted. He was in jail, but somehow the Lord freed him from jail, and he was able to escape to flee to Turkey. So I've been discipling him for 4 years, and so we've been praying since last year that if the Lord is in this, that we would plant a church there in Turkey. So we were praying. As I prayed, I said, Lord, if you want us to go to Turkey, would you show me that if you want church there in Turkey, Iranian church, because these people in Iran, they are lost, they need you, they need to be saved. And if you want us to go there and open a house of the Lord for people to be saved and to worship you, would you show me? So as I was praying, meditating, the Lord gave me 2 Chronicles chapter 29. It talks about Hezekiah became a king, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And it says that in the first year of his reign, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he repaired them. And then he brought in Levites and priests, and he sanctified the house of the Lord. And he knew that it's so important for people to worship God. The kings before Hezekiah, they turned their back on God, and they led Israelite into idolatry. But this king, he was different. He knew that God is the one who's going to bless our land, bless our country, bless our lives. We need to get back to God and repent and worship him. And he opened the house of the Lord. After many years, he sanctified it. That means he got all the dusting and everything cleaned the house of the Lord. And as I read this, the Lord spoke to me through this passage. And I thought about Iranians in Turkey. Many of them are lost. They go to Turkey in order to flee to the West, to go to the West to have better life. They don't know that the life is in Jesus, not in the West, not in Europe or America. So the Lord spoke to me through this passage, and I spoke to my friend in Turkey, and I said, the Lord gave me green light, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to bring my family. And the Lord showed me that he wants me to take my family as well. And my wife had peace about it, so we went there together to start a church there. So one church, that was our vision, to go and plant one church there.
Well, we're going to find out what happened there, because the Lord led you there, gave you this passage of Scripture, placed this burden on your heart to go and reach the scattered Iranians that are in Persians in Turkey. So, Michael, tell us what God is doing in Turkey. You went with the goal of establishing one church. Tell us what happened.
Okay, I went there, obviously, the first day. Just as I arrived in the evening, we had jet lag and couldn't sleep that night. And it was like midnight, still couldn't sleep. It was 2, 3, couldn't sleep. It was 4 o'clock. We heard a prayer, you know, call to prayer, an Islamic prayer call. And as I heard it, and I was used to it as a Muslim, because we heard it so many times a day, and we had to get ready and pray to Allah. So as I heard it, the Lord spoke to me. He said, get up. I was a little bit frustrated. I didn't like it. It was kind of satanic voice to me now, coming out of Islam. It was bothering me. But the Holy Spirit told me to get up and pray to Jesus. You know, Muslims are getting up, praying to Allah. Get up and pray to Jesus. And I said, okay, it sounds good to me. So I told my wife, she couldn't sleep either. I said, I'm going to get up and pray to Jesus. She said, I had same thing in my heart. I want to pray as well. And so the Lord showed me to pray as well to Jesus. Hmm. And I said, well, let's get up and pray. So we got up and we prayed to Jesus through Islamic prayer call. Hmm. So that was neat. So I went downstairs, wanted to find a grocery to purchase a lighter to be able to make some coffee at home, because we didn't have any coffee, nothing at home. We rented an apartment for 3 months. So I went downstairs to the grocery shop downstairs, and I found a man in a chai shop. You know, we have coffee shop here. Over there, they have chai shop. Chai is tea, like black tea they drink. They call it chai. Mm-hmm. And I spoke to this man. I wanted to ask him where the grocery store is. And so I had chai with him. And he said, I'll take you to the grocery store. So we went together. It was like 15 minutes away. As we were walking, and I started sharing the gospel with him. And he prayed and received Jesus as his Savior. Wow. He was a Turkish man. I'm like, wow, this is first day. We just arrived.
A divine appointment.
Divine appointment and first fruit. The Lord already gave me a first fruit. And that was just very encouraging to me. And I knew that the Lord is in this trip already. Mm-hmm. The first day, first fruit was given to me. So anyway, I was able to meet my friend there in north of Turkey, which is about 3 hours from Istanbul. So I was with him. So we started to have our first meeting, church meeting. We invited some Iranians. So first day we had about 14, 15 people attending church. And there was one lady, I don't want to give you the name, mm-hmm. but she got saved. And then there was one Afghani man whose name in English means prophet. He was a Muslim, but he showed me a video of a young man in Afghanistan. He showed me this video. This video was a young man who was working for Americans as a translator. And because he was working for Americans and he was getting this dirty money from infidels, so-called, so he was shot to death in the marketplace in the middle of town, and everybody saw him. So this video bothered him. He said, this is wicked. I'm sick of Islam. And so the Lord was preparing this man. He saw a lot of damages through Islam to his country of Afghanistan. So he was prepared already. I shared the gospel with him, and he gladly received Jesus as his Savior. And so that was, the Lord was working.
Yes.
There was another man that I was mentoring and discipling for a few years. His name is Mohammed, and he also came our meeting there for a few days just to meet me in person. After like 2-3 years, I was able to meet this people that I never met. I discipled them online, but for first time I was able to meet these people there in Turkey. That was glorious. After like 2 months staying there and just discipling this new convert in Turkey, my family came over to visit my wife and my children, 3 children.
Okay, and we're going to have you pause right there because we're just seconds from a break. And I don't want us to break into the story because how God worked in this meeting with your family is rather spectacular. Michael Gurmi is with us today, and if you missed the opening, he is a former Muslim, was born into a Shia Muslim family. But it was after migrating to Australia that he found faith in Jesus Christ, and then later has moved to the States here, where he is now proclaiming the good news of the gospel to Islamic nations, primarily using Skype to get his message out. But it's just a return from a trip to Turkey and sharing the open doors of opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, as we mire in the things that are going on in this world today, we can praise God that there is triumph in Turkey. More information after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and author with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does natural selection occur today?
Chris, God created each basic category of life with a built-in adaptability to various conditions. Natural selection can choose from the variety which best fits an environment. But note that this is not evolution. It's merely selection of genes which already exist. Nothing new has evolved. Recently, a population of island lizards was introduced onto a new island. In 20 years, they had adapted, and their average leg length was shorter. Evolutionists crowed that this was a great evolutionary advancement, but big deal. Natural selection had occurred, but not evolution. Natural selection is not a creative process. Creation, now that did occur by the supernatural powers of God. Back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Michael Gearmey is with us here today on the program and talking about his recent return from Turkey and how God is at work in these divine appointments. And friends, it's easy to get frustrated with all that's going on in this world, but know this, God is at work and lives are being impacted with the gospel message. And perhaps this will even light a flame in your own heart to be a witness to those that you come in contact with and in your neighborhoods and your place of business and the place where you shop. To let the light of Christ shine through you. Michael, you just returned back from Turkey with your wife, three young children, and talking about these divine appointments. You went there with the goal of starting a church, but while you're in Turkey, you had the opportunity to meet up with your family. So your family is Shia Muslim.
Yes.
And so tell us about this encounter with your own family.
Okay, my family decided to come and visit me and also my wife and children. And so I took the opportunity. I knew that they won't be able to attend the church there because they have been threatened so many times by officials, by Iranian officials. And last year in Armenia, when I went there, and praise God, 20 people got saved in Armenia last year. And my family came and five of them got saved in Armenia last time. And when they went back to Iran, these officials, they found out about what happened in Armenia, and they threatened my family. They said, next time when you go and visit Michael, you need to tell us 10 days in advance. And so they were so scared, and they wanted to come and see me and my family, but there was kind of fear in their life. So they didn't tell officials that they're coming to Turkey to meet me. They came secretly. And I knew that it's not going to be easy for them to be in the church there with us. So I was praying what to do, how to help them to get closer to God and disciple them. And some of them are not even saved. And my dad was not saved either. And so I was just praying for his salvation. So as I was just praying what to do, and I was looking for apartment for them because eight of them was, you know, they were trying to come. And so the Lord didn't provide us an apartment, a housing for them for some reason because he had another plan. So I realized that there's no place, so I need to book a hotel so they can stay in a hotel. So that's what I ended up booking a hotel for them. But then the Lord kind of led me to rent their auditorium there in the hotel for us to have a conference. That way, they're going to be in hotel anyway. They may be able to hear these preachings there in the hotel. So that's what I did just so quickly. So we, those people attending the church, so 15 of them, 20 of them, they told their friends, they invited their friends to come, and I told my disciples in Iran and everywhere that I'm going to have conference, and about five, six of them came from Iran, and if about 11, 12 of them came from another city in south of Turkey, from Denizli, to be there in the conference. So we were about 50 of us, 50 people. So we had a conference, 5 days of Bible conference. Mm-hmm. And so we started teaching, and my family were able to hear the preaching, and they were so encouraged, so edified, and especially my sister who were saved the year before, they were so so encouraged. As I was preaching, the last day of conference, my dad, my own father and mother, I took them to a restaurant to eat with my wife. So we went out to eat, and my dad told me that he didn't want to come to meet me. And I noticed that his hand was shaking. And I said, what happened to you? He's 78 years old, and he looked so old to me compared to 9 years ago that I saw last time. And he said, because of this threat that we received from officials there, that's why my hand is shaking. He had Parkinson because of the threat, persecution in Iran. And he's not even saved. So, and he said, because he's very old, he's using walker to walk, and he couldn't walk through the airport. He didn't want to come because he said that he didn't believe that he's going to make it to the summer. he thought that he's going to die. He said, I'm going to come and see you for the last time before I die. And I said, Dad, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you shall never die, because he said, I am the resurrection and life. And he that believeth in me, though he is dead, he shall live, you know. He said, I'm alive. He's a living God, and you'll live again, you know, with Jesus Christ, believing in him. So I shared the gospel with him, and I challenged him to respond to the gospel, and he prayed with me and received Jesus as his Savior.
Praise the Lord.
And praise the Lord. And as soon as he got saved, now he's like thinking what to do, how he's going to go back to mosque again, because as a, you know, friends, they go to mosque together to pray to Allah. And he said, maybe I should just go and sit there, but not to pray. He was just counting the cost. It was like genuine salvation. I could see that he wanted to find a way, you know, what to do. And I said, you don't, you know, they know that you're getting older. Maybe you can go and maybe you can pray to Jesus. You can go to mosque and pray to Jesus in mosque. And maybe you go like 2-3 times a week, you drop it, you know, you go twice a week, and then next week you go once, and then slowly you drop it. You don't go because they know that you are old, you can't walk anymore. Tell them that you pray at home. So he said, okay, I'll do that. He was happy. And on the last day, as he got saved, now we had baptism, and I challenged my parents. My mom got saved last year, and they both were happy to be baptized. And as we were going to be baptized, you know, to have a baptism, my younger brother came to me, and he made a profession of faith in 2013, but I never saw a fruit in his life. So he came to me, he said, I wanna get saved again, because last time I wasn't genuine. I didn't pray from heart. I'd like to get saved again, and I've been praying every day now. I've been so touched through these conferences, preaching. God's word have impacted my life these last few days. I've been praying. I want to get saved and get baptized again, rebaptized. I said, okay, sure. Now, I asked him a few questions, and he believed that Jesus is God and died for his sins and rose again. And he prayed with me and received Jesus as his Savior again. And he got baptized with my parents as well. I had the privilege to baptize my dad, my mom, my younger brother, and also other 14 other people that got saved in that city north of Turkey. So 17 people got saved and 17 people got baptized in that city. So these people that came from south of Turkey, about 11 of them, they were so touched by these messages and devotion that we had every morning at 10 o'clock. And we had two missionaries also coming from America to help us with this conference, with the preaching and everything. So as they were asking us, they said, what are we going to do when we go back to our city of Denizli? We don't have church to go to. There are some charismatic churches and we are sick of them. They're not genuine. It's all show up and we don't like to go there, but we're not going to have a church to go. What should we do? As they were just speaking, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me that he wanted me to go there and have another church there, plant another church there. But we had 2 weeks only.
So this first location that you're at, you planted a church there then?
It was a house church. We planted a church. And okay. That friend that I mentioned, he is leading the church right
Wonderful.
Now. He took over. So but through that conference, through that church, other people who came from different city, they were just asking, what are we going to do? We don't have church in that city. It's like Macedonian.
Come on over to Macedonia and help us.
Exactly. That's what they said. And I was in tears, and I couldn't stop myself. I said, you need church. Yes, definitely. I said, I'll be glad to come and plant a church there. And at the same time as I was, you know, praying and talking to him, these two missionaries from America, they had the same thing in their hearts. They said, we can go and plant a church there. So all three of us, the Holy Spirit spoke to all three of us, to our hearts, to go there and plant a church. But the problem is we have only 2 weeks left because we had 3-month trip. And because I had to come back to graduate from seminary at Baptist Theological Seminary. And so we had 2 weeks, and I'm like thinking, how am I going to plant the church in 2 weeks? That's not possible. But the Holy Spirit told me, I knew that with Holy Spirit, with God, everything is possible.
Yeah.
So we took a step of faith and we believed God, and we went there for 2 weeks to plant a church.
You looked for a place to hold it, a place to rent?
Yes, we already looked for a few places, and it was a little bit expensive, but we were able to find a restaurant, Iranian restaurant in Denizli, to have a conference there, 5 days conference, same thing, to be able to help people to get saved so we can establish a church there. So we went there in a restaurant. We had 5 days of conference, and Denizli is in kind of southwest of Turkey, and it's a nice place, historical place. There are so many nice places there. For example, Colossi. Colossi is in Denizli.
The Paul's epistle to the Colossians.
Yes, we were able to go and see that site. It was not there. City wasn't there. It was totally ruined and destroyed through earthquakes in this 2,000 years, so it doesn't exist anymore. But the site was there. It was so beautiful place, mountainous, and fresh water everywhere, spring cold water. And you could drink. We stopped to get some drink, to drink some water. And it was a hot place, very hot, but fresh, cold water was refreshing. And then there was Hierapolis. Hierapolis is also in that city, in Denizli, that has hot water, spring hot water, that had kind of medicinal purpose. It's got hot water, and people go there to swim, to be healed from their skin disease, or that's what they believe. And in fact, what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 talks about Laodicean church, lukewarm. Laodicea is also in Denizli. We were able to go to Laodicean church, and the building is still there, ruins of the building. It was very big building, probably that would fit about 1,000 people, I would say. Very beautiful, big building, ruins of it. Still there. So I had the privilege to preach in that church, inside the church. And so it was just such a great time to be there, to see those sites that where believers 2,000 years ago, they met there in Colossae and Laodicea and in Hierapolis. And so Jesus said, because you are lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. This is the reason. Hierapolis had hot water, and that had medicinal purpose. Colossae had cold water that was refreshing. But this Hierapolis hot water, as it was flowing to come down, by the time that it reached to Laodicea, to the city of Laodicea, that hot water was lukewarm, had no purpose, not useful anymore. Hot water of Hierapolis had medicinal purpose. Colossae's water was so refreshing, but Laodicean water was very lukewarm, not useful for anything. So this church in Laodicea was lukewarm. That means they were rich. They were increased with goods, and they didn't have any need. So they didn't need Jesus Christ. They had all the money and everything, so they didn't rely on Jesus. And Jesus was outside the door, knocking on the door, but they didn't open the door for Jesus to come in. That's why they were lukewarm, not used for Jesus Christ.
My, what a life lesson learning from this trip. And friends, we're going to talk about the establishment of not just one church, but a second church as well. Yes, there's triumph in Turkey. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
We'll be right back.
Friends, we continue to look at all that's going on in this world today. Yes, the tragedy in Texas, as we mentioned yesterday. But we talk about what's taking place even at the World Health Organization, the pushing toward a new world order and all of these aspects. And I know I've heard many people say, why has not the Lord returned yet? Why has not the Lord returned? Look how bad things are. But we're told in the epistle, Peter's epistle, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is at work, and he's at work in the lives of many. And today we're hearing about the triumph that is going on in Turkey right now. And as we see so much happening in this world, there are people who, men and women and young people, that are coming to faith in Jesus Christ during these very troublesome times in which we live. Michael Girmay is with us today. He is a former Muslim, but God miraculously saved him. And now he is ministering to Farsi-speaking people all over the world by means of his broadcast, and just has come back from a three-month stay in Turkey to reach those Iranians that are scattered abroad and many in Turkey, and saw the establishment of one church. Now come over to a second city, and got 2 weeks here. Did that second church ever get established, brother?
Yes, in fact, the Lord enabled us to do that by his grace. And so we started a conference there in Denizli, where Colossae, where Hierapolis and Laodicea are, those three places. So we started our conference in a restaurant, and we were not able to promote this conference on media, social media, or anywhere. But those people who came from Denizli to north to attend our conference, they were able to tell their friends and other people to join our conference. So we had about 70, 80 people turned up.
Wow.
And for 5 days. And we started to preach in turn, three missionaries, each one. We started to preaching, and I noticed that people were so touched. You could tell that they were so touched. They were just very attentive, and they came after the service preaching, and they just gave good feedback. You could tell that God was working in their hearts, and the Lord kind of led me to take some of these people that they were touched. I knew that they are ready for salvation. So I took them to a hotel where we stayed in the lobby. I shared the gospel with two couples, and four of them got saved. The next day we had another session, and for 3 hours conference. So we preached and we sang, we preached, we sang. And at the end of the day, after like evening service, like 9:30, I was able to take some of them to the hotel, and a few of them got saved. Third day, 10 people got saved. So during this 5 days of conference, so many of them got saved, and about 23 got saved there in that city through the conference that we had for 5 days. And on the last day, we had baptism, and 18 souls who just got saved a few days ago, they wanted to be baptized. So we baptized 18 of them in a place that was very unusual. We wanted to book a swimming pool so we can baptize them. That's what we did in north of Turkey, First Church. We baptized in a swimming pool. So for this one, we wanted to find a swimming pool. So we spoke to one of them, and we wanted to go and see the place, see how it looks like. But there was ladies' session, so we were not able to go in to look at it. But we were able to book it. So next day, on Sunday, on the last day of the conference, we took these people who just got saved to baptize them. So we walked in, and I'm noticing that there is no swimming pool here. And I'm like, what's going on here? And I asked them where the swimming pool is. They said downstairs. So I opened the door to go downstairs. I saw this steam coming up. It was so hot. And I went downstairs, and I noticed that this is not a swimming pool. This is bathroom, this public bathroom. There are so many of them in Turkey that people, they go to those bathrooms to take a bath. And I saw one man was scrubbing people, their bags and everything. So most of them were uncovered. Obviously, they had only apron around them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we have ladies with us, and they can't. And it was men's session. how are we going to do this? And I was disappointed. So I passed that place and I went to another section in that bathroom, and I noticed that people, again, uncovered people, they were rinsing and taking shower, and I'm like disappointed again. And I went through the third section, and I saw a swimming pool there, but there were men again, and there was a window that you could see the people there who were scrubbing and washing themselves. You could see it, and I'm like, I was disappointed. I said, Lord, why did you lead us to come here? We have ladies with us. This is not going to glorify you. What should we do? I asked the missionaries. I said, can we come and pray together? Let's see what we can do. So we prayed. But I noticed that we don't have any other option. The other swimming pool is like half an hour away, and we don't have any bus to take these 40, 50 people there for baptism. And so I noticed that there's no option, and this is the only time, and we're going to go back the next day, go back to other city where we were, and then after a few days, we're going to go back to America. And I said, let's just use some towels to close that window so that people won't be able to see us getting baptized, and we're going to ask people to come one at a time to be baptized. Maybe they can cover their heads with a towel to come downstairs so we can baptize. That's what we did. So 18 people got baptized, but guess what happened? The Lord is so good. Our plan is like not like God's plan. His plan, His ways are higher than our ways and plan. So what happened in the afternoon? We had service after baptism. Some people missed the baptism in the morning, about five of them. So in the afternoon, after the afternoon service, they wanted to get baptized. So I was able to take them to the same place to baptize them one at a time. And as I started to baptize one of them, and I noticed that there were two swimming pools next to each other. One of them was small, another one bigger one. We were baptizing small pool. And as I baptized one of them, I noticed one man saying Amin. Amin in Amen in Farsi accent. And I said, are you a Persian? He said, yes. He said, I've been reading Book of Psalms, and I've been searching about Christianity. I like Christianity. And my friend Amir, who invited us to go to his city, Macedonian call. So Amir said, would you like to be baptized? And he said, yes. And I realized that he's genuine. He wants to be baptized, but I know that he's not saved. And I said, well, that's wonderful that you want to be baptized, but you need to be saved first. You need to be born again. Can I explain to you how to be born again? He said, yes. So I sat with him there and I explained the gospel to him, how Jesus died for our sins and he rose again. He paid the penalty of our sins. By trusting Jesus alone, you can be saved from the punishment of your sins in hell. You can be saved and be born again, and you'll be able to get baptized. Would you like to call on Jesus' name? He said, yes. He prayed. He received Jesus as his Savior. You could tell that he was genuine. And I had the privilege to baptize him right there.
This reminds me of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know, he's reading the scriptures and
he didn't understand.
He didn't understand, and Philip came and preached unto him Jesus.
Yes.
Just as you had that opportunity there, and when he saw, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Do you believe in all your heart?
Yes, exactly. That's what I asked. He said, yes, I believe. But that wasn't the end of the story. So he was with three, four other people. They were like four or five friends swimming there. And so one of his friends was already Christian. He came to me as well, and he was saved for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
He gave me his contact number, so I was able to meet with him next day. And he said, I have a few friends, they're not Christians. Can you witness to them? I said, sure. So he sent his four friends. So four friends came next day, and I was able to sit with them and explain the gospel a few hours, and they all got saved.
Wow.
I'm like, praise now I understand why God led us to that bathroom, public bathroom. That was, to me, it was very bad place because they were men naked, and we had ladies with us wanted to get baptized. I said, this is not going to glorify God, but God is seeking the lost ones. He leaves 99. He goes after one that is lost. That's what he did exactly. He wanted to save five more people in that place. So I'm just glorifying God what he did. So we had about 23 people got saved in that second city. And about 27-28 people got baptized. So in total, we had 40 people got saved in our trip, three-month trip in Turkey, and 43 people got baptized. And we're praising God for what he did there. And then we were looking for a building somewhere to for these people, 23 of them that are saved now. Mm-hmm. They need to have a church to go to and to be established. So we looked for a place, and it was not easy for us to place. We looked for like 20, 30 places, but nobody wanted to give us their buildings to have a church. They said, not for Christians, not for church. And we rented one place, and but we paid the rent for 2 months. And next day, we had a phone call from realtor saying that the security downstairs, he doesn't want us to have a church meeting. And later on, we found out that that was not security. It was the other charismatic church in town. They didn't like us because we're different. They didn't like us. So they did something. I don't know what they did. They didn't want us to meet there. So we were not able to have that building. But the Lord provided us a beautiful another building. So we've been renting that last, like 2 Sundays ago, we had opening service. My friend Amir in Turkey, he was able to paint the wall. We got 80 chairs. We got pulpit. We got two air conditioning units. And we got screen, projector, and computer. And so we started to have opening service 2 Sundays ago. And I had the privilege to preach through Zoom 2 weeks ago. And then last Sunday again for second service. So we have a couple who live in Turkey, Mohammed and his wife. And I led them to the Lord 3 years ago, and they've been growing in the Lord mightily, and they love the Lord, and they live 3 hours away from that city. They've been traveling every Wednesday and Sunday to go to church there to lead the church. And so the Lord is working, and two churches are established in Turkey, and I'm, you know, the song Send the Light. Mm. We were singing in our church the other day at Falls Baptist Church, Send the Light. As I was singing, I'm like, God, send a light to Turkey. There are two lights in Turkey, one in Denizli and other one in north of Turkey, two churches. Mm-hmm. These people, they used to be Muslim, but now they have seen light. Now they are the light of the world, and they're worshiping the source of light, Jesus Christ, and pray that the Lord would increase these two churches, that they would go out and establish other churches everywhere. So I'm just marveled what the Lord did. So I went there to plant one church, but the Lord had another plan in his mind to plant two churches. Mm-hmm. Not only that, also I have written a book called Learn of Me in Farsi. It's a discipleship book. And we were able to print 1,000 of them in Turkey to be used there for people to learn to, you know, to go mm-hmm. through those lessons of that book to be established and grow in their faith. And 500 of them we received, that another 500 were distributed right away. And so many people asked for that book. We were able to print another 5,000 copies of that. In total, 8,000 copies of that book were printed and distributed. So the Lord did mighty things in Turkey.
Amen. Amen. Friends, are your hearts been warmed? Have they been challenged? Pick up your phone. Give us a call here today, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. In November of 2021, a group known as NTI, Nuclear Threat Initiative, put out a report of a fake country that had an outbreak of monkeypox. And in the report, they said it would outbreak in May of 2022, May 15th, 2022, to be precise. Well, guess what? That's pretty much when we started hearing about monkeypox in the news overseas and now in America. They went on to describe the goal, the objective, give more power to the World Health Organization, which is China, which is also the biggest funder of WHO, reported to be Bill Gates. So do you want the UN, Bill Gates, and China running our healthcare system and telling us when there's an emergency and when we have to shut down our businesses and our churches and our schools and stay inside? If we don't fight this global tyranny, that's what's coming. They've already gamed it, and now it's being rolled out. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
Michael Girmi, our guest here today on Crosstalk. Yes, we're talking about triumph in Turkey. Friends, in the last 3 months, we have seen the establishment of two churches in Turkey that have taken place. And maybe you just want to call with a note of praise to God here today. And our telephone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If you have a question for Michael, feel free to call, 800-733-9829. Michael, how likely is it for these new believers in Christ to be persecuted for their faith?
The good thing is that these are Iranians. They speak in Farsi, and they live in Turkey. And Turkish people, they don't understand Farsi language. So because of that, they are safer there a little bit. Obviously, it's still Middle East is Middle East and never gets better. But because they are from different countries, so it's a little bit safer for them to have a church meeting there.
The aspect of being baptized, that is really a sign that this new faith, this new life has taken place inside, that baptism is very important for that identification. It's really a testimony to others around them.
Yes, definitely. A lot of Muslims there in the public bathroom, they were watching us. And Turkey is getting liberal. And a lot of Muslims, we went to that second city in Denizli. It was very secular. The first city was very religious. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, the ladies had hijab and the covering. But the second city, it was very advanced. And people, they looked very like Western people. And so many of them don't even pray to Allah. They don't practice Islam. So this wickedness, the sin is just spreading everywhere in Islamic countries. And a lot of people, as we draw nigh to the end of the world and coming of Jesus Christ, a lot of people giving up on their faith, and they like materialism and but the Lord is still at work. He's saving souls, and we praise God for those people who got baptized.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Lansing, Michigan. We have Doug calling in. Hi, Doug, you're on the air.
Hello, Brother Jeremy. This is Doug Bidlack from Lansing, Michigan. We're a supporting church of yours at Grace Baptist Church in Eaton Rapids, and it's so exciting to hear your testimony of your dad and them getting saved, and just your ministry over there in Turkey that you was over there for 3 months. We just want to let you know that we're praying for you, and God bless you and your ministry.
Thank you so much for your praise and support. Yes, your pastor came to my ordination just before I left to go to Turkey. Thank you so much.
I was the one that was with him.
Yes, yes. Okay. Thank you for coming.
Yes, sir. God bless
you, sir.
Appreciate
you.
Thank you, Doug, for the call. Our number, 800-733-9829. Michael, for those who would like to learn more about your ministry, you have a website that they can go to now. You've got one that's speaking Farsi, but one that also has English available.
Yes, it's Besharet.tv is for Farsi-speaking people, but Besharet.tv, that's Besharet.tv /English. That's a website for English-speaking people.
Okay, let me repeat that again. It's Besharet.tv. That's Besharet.tv, then /English. And you'll find information about the ministry and even ways that people can get engaged and assist in this ministry as well through the website there. And you also have a number that people can reach your ministry as well?
Yes, there's a number there that they can reach out to me. And I've been able to speak in different churches just to edify them, tell them about God's work, and I'll be glad to speak in different churches to present the ministry and tell them even how to win Muslims to the Lord. And a lot of people do not know how to win people to the Lord, especially Muslims. So that's what the Lord has been doing as well. I've been having seminary in different churches to teach them how to lead Muslims to the Lord.
And friends, how badly we know that it is here, right where we're at in the United States. The phone number, if you need a number to reach their ministry, it's area code 661-488-6438. Let's go to Zoe in Champaign, Illinois. Hi, Zoe. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Jim. I just wanted to say to your guest how wonderful. I was just so inspired by this. And I want to compliment him on his discernment when he knew that, that you know, people thought they wanted to be baptized, but they didn't have the gospel. They hadn't received the gospel, and I'm not sure whether I would have that discernment, and I just think that's beautiful that you do. And I wondered if you'd talk a little bit about the seven churches in Revelation, because I'm sure you have some unique perspectives. I just wondered if you want to tell us anything about those.
You know, let me say, Zoe, we're less than 2 minutes. We've got other other callers. So he did talk about the church at Laodicea, which is very important to their recent trip here. But maybe some other time we'll come
Thank
back
you.
And talk. Thank you on that issue, Michael. Very interesting insight there with the seven churches. Let's go to, but now there are two more there. Shelley in Cookeville, Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to say praise God. What a blessing I got out of today's show. Thank God for people like him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your call here today. Michael, I know that you would enlist people to come alongside, be praying for you, be praying for your ministry, and to be praying for Turkey as well, these new churches. There's going to be, whenever you take a step forward for the Lord, there's going to be opposition to these believers.
Definitely. In fact, they have been opposition, sadly, not through Muslims, but through charismatic churches there. And they've been threatening them. They've been trying to stop them not to meet in Denizli. And a lot of people, some of these people who came to our conference in Denizli were charismatic believers. And they were sick of them. And some of them, they said, if you stay here 1 month, all other churches in this city will be closed.
Mm.
Because whatever we hear here in this conference, we never heard these messages in those churches there. This is what you're saying is true. It's something that we want. Our hearts agree with what you're saying. Because we preach the Bible. We're presenting the truth of the Bible.
Michael, thank you for coming and sharing here today. I know your heart is full. You could go another couple hours as to all that's transpired there. But thank you for coming and sharing that there's not all doom and gloom across this world, but God is at work.
Yes, thank you for having me, and it's a privilege for me to come and speak and to be able to glorify God first and edify these believers in Christ.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michael. Michael Gearmey is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Again, his ministry website is Besharet.tv/English, and that's spelled B-E-S-H-A-R-A-T. Friends, take time today to pray for these new established churches in Turkey. Pray that many more will come to faith in Jesus Christ as a result. God bless you, folks. God is at work. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.